So I'm sure many of us use mobile applications, and a common thing that providers of these mobile applications want to do is compute aggregate statistics over their entire user population. So you can imagine having a stress tracker app installed on your phone, and the provider of this application wants to know the relationship between its user's blood pressure and its user's Twitter habits. So each user of the stress tracker app essentially has a private data point stored on their phone, and the app provider wants to fit a line to these points. The way this works today is with non-private aggregation. Basically, the app on your phone sends your private data point up to some server in the cloud controlled by the app provider, and the app provider computes this line of best fit on its server. So this is good in that the app provider actually gets the right answer, but it's bad in that the app provider actually learned much more than it needed. It just wanted this aggregate statistic or this line of best fit, but instead it got everybody's private data. So in this talk, I'm going to be describing a system called Prio for private aggregation. And the way the system works is it has a number of aggregators, so a number of servers that are going to be non-colluding. So you can imagine the Play Store running one server and the app provider running a second server. And clients, instead of just sending their data in the clear to the app provider, they're going to split their data using a cryptographic secret sharing scheme that I'll describe. And they'll send sort of one piece of their data to each of the two aggregation servers. So even though neither server actually sees the private client data, the aggregators are going to be able to collaboratively compute the aggregate statistic of interest without learning anything about the client's private data. So the aggregators get the right answer. The stress tracker app still learns this line of best fit, but it doesn't learn any private client information. So to define the problem a little bit more precisely, let me say it like this. We have a bunch of devices, so think of millions of mobile phones, and each phone has its private data point, so call it XI. We have some number of aggregation servers. Again, think of the Play Store maybe and the app provider that want to collaboratively compute some function over all of these XIs. And whatever system we come up with needs to satisfy a bunch of properties. So it should be correct in the sense that if the servers do the right thing, they actually get the right answer, they actually compute the aggregate statistic. It should be private in the sense that if one of the servers is honest, so if you have at least one good aggregation server, the server should only learn the aggregate function. They shouldn't learn anything about the client's individual data besides the aggregate statistic itself. And the system should also be robust against malicious clients. So what I mean by that is that if you have, say, a malicious client that submits a data point that's sort of way off the charts, so a blood pressure reading, say, that's way higher than it should be, in an attempt to sort of skew the aggregate statistic, we'd like to prevent that from happening. So I'll say malicious clients in some sense have bounded influence on the aggregate statistic, and I'll try to make that more precise as we go. And the last property, which is sort of obvious to all of us here, is that it should be efficient. It should be fast enough to run on real computers. So it shouldn't use a ton of public key crypto, maybe apart from TLS, to set up secure channels, and it should handle sort of thousands of submissions per second on a single server. And I think Prio is exciting to us because it's really the first system for private aggregation that achieves all these properties at the same time. And furthermore, it does so while supporting a pretty wide range of aggregation functions that I'll describe towards the end of the talk. So it doesn't support everything, but a wide range of useful functions. So it does so with two new sort of technical contributions. The first is a cryptographic tool we call a secret shared non-interactive proof, or a SNIP. The idea here is that a client, when it sends its encoded data up to these aggregation servers, the client proves to the servers that its submission is well-formed in such a way that the servers don't actually learn what the client sent. So the reason we can do this efficiently is because for this application, we don't actually need the full power of traditional, more heavy cryptographic tools. We can do with something much lighter because we have these non-colluding servers. The second technical contribution are sort of ways to encode the client's data points such that we can reduce the problem of computing an interesting function privately, so think of linear regression or something, to the problem of just computing private sums. So if you have a system for computing private sums, you can do actually much more interesting things. There's a bunch of really interesting related work on private aggregation that sort of solve different aspects of the problem. So there's systems based on additively homomorphic encryption and secret sharing, on general purpose multi-party computation, on anonymous credentials and anonymous tokens, and on randomized response to achieve differential privacy. I think none of these systems achieve all the four properties that we sort of set out to achieve, but they all sort of tackle different parts of the problem, and we actually draw on much of this prior work in constructing the system. So in the remainder of the talk, I first want to sort of introduce a straw man scheme for computing private sums that actually gets us much the way to the final system. And then I'll talk about how we provide robustness with this new tool before I give the evaluation results and talk about more complex statistics. So as a warm-up, think of the problem of computing private sums. So every device holds some value xi, and we want to compute the sum of all the xi's. So as a toy example, think of privately measuring traffic congestion. Again, this is just a toy example, but it'll lead to more interesting things. So you could imagine every user encodes their location as 1 if they're on the Bay Bridge and 0 if they're not on the Bay Bridge. And then the sum of the xi's gives you the number of users who are on the Bay Bridge at a particular moment in time. So just the problem of private sums. It turns out there's a very straightforward way to collect this system, this statistic in a privacy-preserving way. So we're going to have a number of servers, and we're going to assume these are the aggregation servers, and we're going to assume that they're non-colluding, or equivalently that at least one of the servers is honest. Again, think of the app stores running one server and the app providers running another one, or think of putting 3 different servers in 3 different privacy-friendly countries. However you get them, you need at least one of the servers to be honest. The clients interact with this system in the following way. So each client comes online, has its private data value. So this client's value is 1, meaning that it's on the Bay Bridge. And it splits its value into shares using a cryptographic secret sharing scheme. What that means is it just picks 3 random numbers that sum to 1 and mod something. So in the real system, we use a big prime. But for now, let's just keep it simple. The point of a secret sharing scheme like this is that you need all 3 shares to actually recover the client's private value. So if you only have 2 of the 3 shares, you don't learn anything about what the client's private value is. So to make this into an aggregation scheme, the client splits its secret into these 3 shares and sends 1 of the shares to each of the servers. Each aggregation server holds an accumulator that's initialized to 0, and it adds these shares into its accumulator upon receiving them. So the next client can do the same thing, splits its secret value into shares, sends 1 share to each of the servers. The servers then aggregate the shares, and so on for the rest of the clients. So at the end of the day, the aggregation servers can just basically publish their shares of their publish their accumulators, and by summing up the accumulators, you actually recover the sum of all of the client's private values. So all of the randomness of the secret sharing scheme cancels out, and you're left with just the sum of the xi's. So for this example, the servers would learn, say, that there's 3 phones that are on the Bay Bridge, but they don't know which 3. So let's see how we did. In this straw man scheme, it already sort of satisfies a bunch of the properties that we wanted. It's exactly correct in the sense that the servers get the right answer. It provides privacy in the sense that the servers learn nothing but the sum of the xi's. It's very fast. There's no heavy crypto going on here. But it doesn't satisfy this notion of robustness against malicious clients. In fact, malicious clients can sort of arbitrarily corrupt the statistic that we compute. So to see that, remember that the client's private value is supposed to be a 0-1 value. It's supposed to be either 0 if you're not on the Bay Bridge or 1 if you are. But a malicious client can do whatever it wants. So it can send shares of a large value, say. If it does so, if it sends sort of malformed shares to the servers, the servers will happily aggregate them and basically corrupt their accumulators. Making this even worse is that it only takes 1 bad client to corrupt the sum, and this sort of corruption is undetectable until the end of the day. Users often have incentives to cheat in this way, say if you're doing this to collect private ad statistics or something, and the typical defenses that I'll mention in a second are often costly. So this sort of motivates a new technique to provide robustness against malicious clients that we call secret shared non-interactive proofs. So before I describe how these proofs actually work, let me describe how we use them in Prio to provide protection against malicious clients. So using SNPs, the Prio system works basically the same as the straw man scheme in the beginning. The client splits its value into shares and sends 1 share to each of the servers. But now, before aggregating these shares, the servers want to somehow check that their shares are well-formed, that if they added up what they have, they would get something that sums to either 0 or 1, and not a big value or a negative value or something weird. So in the more general setting, the servers hold shares of the client's private value, x, and x could even be a vector. The servers hold some arbitrary public predicate, I'll call it valid, that we express as an arithmetic circuit, doesn't matter if you don't know what an arithmetic circuit is, but just think of a public predicate that sort of defines what it means for X to be a well-formed encoding. And the servers want to test if this predicate holds on X without actually leaking X. So for a running example, this valid predicate just tests whether X is either 0 or 1. So the servers want to test if they added up their shares, would they get something that sums to 0 or something that sums to 1? So the way we do this, again, at a high level, is the server, the client sends to the servers, in addition to its share, it sends a share of a proof. So it sends a share of sort of a proof string. Using these proofs and their shares of X, the servers can chat amongst themselves, and they'll either conclude that X is well-formed, in which case they'll accept these shares of X and accumulate them, or they'll conclude that X is ill-formed, in which case they'll just ignore the client's request. So by sort of detecting and rejecting malformed client submissions in this way, we can enforce that each client influences the aggregate statistic by sort of 0 or 1 at most. So we can again, protect ourselves against malicious clients by enforcing sort of a bound on how much they can influence the aggregate statistic by. So let me, at a high level, try to explain how this tool actually works, how these SNP proofs actually work. The idea is that the servers want to check, again, that this valid predicate holds without actually learning what X is. One general tool that could solve this problem is sort of general-purpose multi-party computation, or secure multi-party computation, which is sort of a cryptographic protocol that would allow the servers to compute any function in sort of a way that doesn't leak anything about their inputs. So this is a very powerful tool, but unfortunately for us, it's pretty expensive. So in this setting, it's expensive both in terms of the amount of computation that communication that the servers have to do, and also in terms of the amount of computation they have to do. So we actually, in our setting, don't need the full power of secure multi-party computation. And the reason why is because we already have a client that knows all of X. So we don't just have to do a secure multi-party computation on the shares of X. We can actually have this client help the servers run the computation. So at a very high level, again, what the client does is it sort of imagines in its head the servers running a secure multi-party computation to check whether X is valid. And as the client's imagining the servers running this computation, it sort of generates a transcript of all the messages that the servers would have sent to each other during a secure multi-party computation. And then the client just sends these transcripts to the servers. So the server's task now is just to check that the transcripts are sort of consistent with each other, rather than having to compute the transcripts themselves. So the reason, at an intuitive level, why this is useful is that checking a transcript is much, much easier than generating it. So if I give you the answer, it's often easier to check that the answer is correct, at least in this setting, than to compute the answer yourself. So let me try to explain why checking is easier than generating in this case. Again, it's going to be at a pretty high level. But what we can do is have the servers generate what is essentially a randomized digest of the transcript. So think of sort of a randomized hash of the transcript and their inputs. And we construct these digests in such a way that if X is valid, they'll sum to 0. And if X is invalid, they'll sum to something non-zero with very high probability. So now the only task the servers have to do is check that these digests sum to 0. And if they don't, they can reject X. So we sort of reduced the heavy computation to a very cheap computation. And the servers can check these digests using sort of a constant amount of communication and a constant number of rounds. So that's, again, at a high level how this works. I hope you check out the paper if you're interested for the details. I just want to talk now about the alternative tools you could use and sort of how we compare in terms of performance, at least asymptotically. So you could use sort of dishonest majority general purpose multi-party computation to do this sort of thing. The reason we don't is it requires a lot of public key operations at the servers. This parameter m here is basically the complexity of this valid predicate. So the slowdown over PRIO is sort of orders of magnitude. You could imagine using sort of cryptographic commitments combined with general purpose non-interactive zero knowledge proofs, again, requires a lot of public key operations and a lot of communication. You could use fancier zero knowledge proofs and commitments. So these are SNARK type proofs, but these require still a lot of work at the client in terms of public key operations. So what we're able to achieve with this new technique is basically no public key operations for anyone. This is all information theoretic crypto, but it comes at the cost of sort of more communication between the client and the server. Although I should say, for specific types of valid circuits, it may even be possible to get rid of this communication. So we haven't explored it fully, but it seems possible. Okay, so let's see how we did in terms of performance, how these sort of optimizations actually affect the system. To do so, we implemented this thing in Go with a bunch of optimizations described in the paper, and we ran it on a 5-server cluster in 5 different Amazon data centers. We set up the system to collect the sum of a bunch of 0-1 values. So this is the sort of setting you'd use for collecting telemetry data, say, from a browser or a car or a phone in a privacy-preserving way. We implemented 4 variants of the system. So one that uses no privacy, where you just encrypt your data and send it to a server. One that uses no robustness, so that's the sort of straw man scheme I presented earlier. We implemented a full Prio system, and a system that uses sort of classical non-interactive zero-knowledge proofs to get robustness. And these systems use 5 servers. In terms of performance, this is showing on the y-axis how many submissions per second this cluster can process, and on the x-axis how big the submissions are in terms of the number of integers we're sort of summing over. So the classical crypto schemes sort of get us a line that looks like this. Prio yields on the order of a sort of 50x performance improvement. The scheme with no robustness whatsoever is something like 5 times faster than Prio, so there's some cost to providing robustness. And then the scheme with no privacy whatsoever is sort of 10x faster than Prio. So there's definitely still a cost to privacy, but the cost is now more like 10x instead of 500x. So you still pay something, but you don't pay nearly as much as you did before. In terms of data transfer between the servers, these sort of classical approaches scale sort of poorly. And because of this new technique, the Prio servers don't need to talk to each other very much to process sort of any one client submission. So the last thing I want to do is just mention briefly how we go from computing private sums to computing sort of more interesting statistics in a privacy-preserving way. So there's been a bunch of work on this on private aggregation for more complex statistics. And sort of using known techniques, you can go from private sums to things like average, variance, standard deviation, even approximate most popular heavy hitters, min and max. You can train machine learning models. You can do least squares regression. And you can even do sort of one step of stochastic gradient descent, say, to train a more complicated machine learning model. A secondary contribution of this work is to provide sort of SNP-friendly encodings for these statistics. So many of these, using many of these techniques directly doesn't give you sort of an encoding type that's easily checked by these SNP proofs. So we sort of put a lot of effort into making sure that you could check these encodings are valid using a small arithmetic circuit. And we describe in the paper how you do that efficiently. I should mention that Prio can't compute all statistics that you would ever want efficiently. And you can even prove that that is so in a certain sense. So for example, Prio does not compute exact median. So if you want exact median, you'll have to be OK with an approximation. But I'll refer you to the paper for details on that. So just to sort of remind you where we started and where we've gone, today the way aggregation works is you have to send all of your private data to some server in the cloud to allow the cloud to compute some private some statistic about you. With these systems like Prio, you're sort of sharing your trust amongst a number of servers with a guarantee that if at least one of the servers is honest, the only thing that the servers will learn about you is this aggregate statistic. They won't learn anything about your private client data itself. So I think many of us realize that the wholesale collection of sort of private, sensitive user data puts our security at risk, and Prio is really the first system for private aggregation that provides these 4 properties that are sort of more or less essential to deploying this sort of system in practice. Exact correctness, you actually get the right answer. Privacy in the sense that the only thing that's leaked is this aggregate statistic. Robustness against malicious clients. And efficiency in terms of not relying on a lot of public key crypto. So to do so, we rely on these 2 tools, secret shared non-interactive proofs and aggregatable encodings that make sort of compose well with SNPs. And I claim that these techniques, sort of, when you put them all together, make these private aggregation systems much, much closer to practical than they've been before. So thank you, and I'm happy to take your questions.
Ladies first, I guess. So very interesting work, nice presentation. So this is, you know, probably 1,000 times at least more powerful than my computer science department, you know, mini frame was when I was at my undergrad. But at the same time, so what you've presented is a technique to push some of the computation to the edge. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because most of the work in security has actually been the opposite, you know, use the cloud, use the powerful centralized, you know, data centers to offload some of the security computations at the edges. Can you...
So I should have emphasized that a little bit more. So it actually, we're actually much more efficient in terms of computation at the edge also. So this is just one chart showing the amount of work the client has to do to generate this proof. And these two bars on the left are sort of using SNARK-type proofs and using sort of classical non-interactive zero-knowledge proofs. And for this is another variant of Prio that's described in the paper, but we're essentially more than an order of magnitude faster in terms of the client computation as well. So we were very concerned about the client computation. What we're able to do, I mean, I guess the reason it works is because as long as you're not using a lot of public key crypto, the amount of client computation in absolute terms is very small. So if you have to do sort of a modular exponentiation per gate in the valid circuit or something, then it becomes impractical. But if you're just doing sort of one multiplication, like a 32-bit multiply for every gate in the circuit, it turns out that you can actually, even if you push some of the computation to the client, in absolute terms, it's still much faster than the alternative approaches would give you.
Okay, so just how fast, how efficient? Internet of Things, can they, do?
Yeah, so this is we have some numbers in the paper with evaluations on a smartphone, and it's something like, you know, 1/100 of a second or 1/10 of a second for a relatively large data encoding. So you could imagine if an app is sending back telemetry data maybe once a day or 2 times a day, spending 1/100 of a second on that interval is maybe acceptable.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, this is Hossein from ETH Zurich. First of all, thanks for the great talk, Henry. My question is regarding differential privacy, where you have the clients add some noise to the data and submit it to a single server. And in this scenario, you have multiple servers, right? And then added some communication, right? Mm-hmm. How would you, what is basically essentially what you're gaining from your system compared to the differential privacy setting?
Yeah, so that's a good question. There's sort of two major differences. So the first is that the system gives you the exact statistic back, which is important when the absolute counts you're going to expect are going to be small. So for example, if you want to detect a rare failure event in a car or something, if you add a bunch of noise, you're going to lose that rare event in the noise. So the noise is going to overwhelm the signal. That's the first one. The second one is in the systems where the client adds the noise, you actually don't get the sort of cryptographic privacy. And the reason is because if you added enough noise to really mask the client's private data, you would again, completely lose the signal. So there's sort of these systems that add noise locally on the client have this fine trade-off between how much noise you add to sort of preserve the signal and how much noise you have to add to preserve the privacy. Whereas here, we don't have to make that sort of trade-off.
Thanks.
Marco Canini from Kaust. Thanks for a very nice work. So I have a question regarding the predicates that assert the validity. So you were mentioning among the limitations that the aggregate functions cannot be universal functions. You cannot parse certain aggregate functions. I wonder if the similar limitation also apply for the predicates.
Yeah, that's a good question. The predicates can be actually arbitrary. So there's no limitation on what predicate you can use. The catch is that the complexity of generating the proof grows with the complexity of the predicate, as expressed as an arithmetic circuit. So simple things like checking that an integer is within a certain range is very easy. If you want to check that the integer is like the SHA-256 hash of something where that has a big circuit, it would be more difficult. But fortunately, for the types of functions that we want to compute, the encodings happen to be relatively easy to check.
All right, let's thank Henry.